Barry and Dot Higgins are being interviewed by Renee Garlick for Concord's Oral History Program. The interview is taking place on May 9, 1994, at their home at 30 Losbrook Road. Dot is 75, Barry is 72. Barry, you were a postman, and that's a very unique way of seeing the town, particularly West Concord. Can you describe what your route was and your knowledge of some of the comings and goings, like the post office being a place of informal exchange of information or gossip?
Well, the West Concord Post Office is located at the corner of Commonwealth Avenue and Harrell Street. It's been there since 1901. And of course, it's, as you say, a focal point of the community, people coming and going. And you do keep in daily contact with all of you people that do business there. What?
Did you have a particular route?
Yes, my route ran from Upper Barrett's Mill Road on the other side of the Rotary down Commonwealth Avenue to my home here on Losbrook Road, and then it went up Losbrook and Connor to Main Street and back down to the Library Corner. That was my regular route 11 at the time that I carried it. I don't know if it's still 11 or not.
What year did you start with the post office?
I actually started in the Christmas of 39. That was my first filling in at Christmas. I was asked by then Postmaster Margaret Coughlin, who was my boss for my career. And then I worked there as a sub until I went in the service, 40, 41, 42. And then when I came back in 46, I went on a fairly regular, I substituted for 7 years before I became a regular. And I was a regular carrier for 10 or 15 years before I went inside.
And you stayed with the post office?
I stayed with the post office until my retirement in 1980.
So you've seen not only a great deal of changes in the town, but you've also seen changes in the separateness of West Concord from Concord.
Right.
Which
was, oh, yeah. Man. Always two very distinct areas, even in the postal operation of it. Although nowadays, West Concord is part of the Concord postal system under the new regime. It has been that way since 1970. That was the year that West Concord was absorbed by Concord, became a station of Concord, and at that time its carrier service moved to the main office where it's operated from. It was now the station that just provides clerical and box service to the public, and still as busy today as it's ever been.
This feeling of a separate part of town. Could you describe that? You knew it even growing up here.
Well, West Concord always, Concord Junction, was always a very definite separation from the main part of Concord, from hospital corner on Main Street was considered the dividing line, the other side of Route 2, and as such, we operate as a separate community because West Concord, usually the industrial system of Concord in general was all, most of the industry was up here in West Concord and was always considered the other side of the tracks, you might say. That's from Concord Center, which was mostly stores and historical type things.
Could you mention some of the industry that you remember?
Well, of course, we had the Concord Woodworking and...
Where was that located?
Concord Woodworking was located on Upper Main Street near the Damon Dale Mill originally, until it burned out, and then it came down to Beharrell Street behind the West Concord Post Office, where it also burned at that time, and eventually went out of business. They sold out. But
was that Damon owned?
The Damons owned that for many, many years, and they were, had a lot of local people work there.
Was that John Damon's?
John Damon's family, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was John and his father. It was Bill and John and...
And any other places that you remember?
Well, let's see, of course, the reformatory, NCI, was one of our main industries, you might say. A lot of people worked there also, lived in White Row, which is a housing section opposite MCI, where a good many families lived for a good many years. Then we had Dover Ski Binding Corporation and the Apple Storage, the old Apple Storage up at the Damon Mill, which is now a multifaceted place of business.
And who owned the Apple Storage that you remember?
The Apple Storage at that time belonged to Jack Lloyd from Bedford, who ran the Concord Cold Storage, where they came up with that system they have of keeping apples fresh throughout the year. A lot of people worked there, and the A&P had a facility there. A lot of women worked there in packing and grading potatoes and onions, and that went on for a long time until Richard Damon and Bill Sullivan took it over and converted it into its present state.
And your father worked for the railroad?
My father, John G., G.O., Higgins, worked for the Boston and Maine, and that's why we moved out here from Malden, where we lived originally, because friends of my father that he worked with, John Fitzpatrick and Harold Chase, for example, also worked at the Boston and Maine with him, and they suggested that we move out here because right on the Fitchburg Division, and they could commute by train into the Cambridge Hay House where they all worked, and my mother as well.
The railroad was very important in
very
town.
Very important. Yes, it was a very vital factor of the town itself. I think we had something like 43 or 45 trains that ran through here from Boston to Hoosier Tunnel, New York. And then, of course, we also had the New Haven trains were running from Framingham to Lowell and New York City. So was very, very busy.
There was a lot of activity around train station.
We had a switching, we had a tower there, tower operators and switching tracks and constant. And of course we had a lot of long distance freights went through here. At that time it was nothing for 80 or 90 cars to go through of a trip, as well as the famous trains like the Minuteman going from here to Chicago used to go through 4 o'clock in the afternoon every other day or so. That was quite a modern design.
And of course there was a connection between mail being delivered on the train.
Oh yeah, we had all kinds of mail hookups, you know, you'd hang the mail bags there. Had mail bags going east and west 4 or 5 times a day. You had to get them hung up so that they'd be not grabbed by the operators of the train. That was quite a function. And it had operated for many years. It was only until they became part of the MBTA that all went out the window.
You describe West Concord as having a lot of commerce, but the one thing I believe when we spoke earlier, you told me that it didn't have banks.
For many, many years, the operators of local businesses were after bank people to open a branch in West Concord, and they never would do it. People like John Palmer of Palmer's Movers, and John Mandrioli, Dan Hayes of Concord Guy Netting Mill, they were constantly after the banks downtown to open a bank up here, and I guess they just never thought it was worth their while. So a bank never opened in West Concord until Hudson National came into town.
And that was around 1969,
70. Mm-hmm. And that was really an upgrading for the local. It wasn't too long after that all the banks got in the business up here.
I guess also around that time, the Derby Farm on Main Street was converted.
Oh yeah, the Derby Farm, which was across from the West Concord Fire Station, was converted into our present West Concord Shopping Mall, which has been there about that time, one of the focal points of the community here. Very, very busy. Banks and stores. And
that was quite new, for West Concord.
That was the first time we ever had anything of that nature in West Concord.
Now, was it Arthur Carr who was associated with that?
Arthur Carr and John Collins and several people involved in that operation, which I operated on that 3-point setup. They have drugstore, West Concord Pharmacy in the middle, Brigham's on one end, and the White Hen on the other.
And the Middlesex Bank right there.
And the Middlesex Bank.
So John Collins, of course, was with the Middlesex Bank, and Arthur Carr with the West Concord Pharmacy.
Right, yeah.
When your father moved to Concord in 1927, what section, what street did you grow up on?
We grew up on the Prairie Street off Central, Prairie Street and a section of West Concord, which extends, later became part of where the Thoreau School area is now. We moved in at 27. Prairie Street became a recognized street at that year. They put in a road and a street sign and a the thing for a fire hydrant and the whole bit. And we were there for a good many years.
Was this an area where carnations were grown
commercially? Yes, this is right over next door to Cousins' greenhouse, which he was one of the leading carnation growers in the country. Shipped them all over the place, and a lot of local people worked there during the year, and that went on for a good many years until finally the oldest son, Bob Cousins, couldn't get people to work on in the greenhouses anymore. So he turned the land over to the town, as it's presently a soccer field and that sort of thing.
So really up to the 1970s it was used?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. It was very, very busy. A thriving business in its own right.
Do you remember any of the friends that you had growing up that we would know today as maybe local businessmen?
Oh yeah, there's Jim Condon and Condon's Backer Store downtown, and Pete Manrio, Pete and Johnny Manrioli, West Concord Supermarket. Howie Soberg over at ENS Oatmeal. That sort of thing. Who else?
Bob Carter.
Oh, God. How could I forget Bob Carter, who just recently closed the family business on Main Street after 70-odd years of serving the public. Bob was a classmate of mine, graduate of class of 40.
And when you grew up, was the church important to you?
Oh yeah, Our Lady Help of Christmas was a active. We operated there as altar boys and Sunday schools and all sorts of things.
And you had gone to which local schools?
I graduated from Harvey Wheeler in 36, and then I went to St. Mary's High School in Waltham.
Did you also go to the West Concord School?
Oh yes, how mm-hmm. could I forget the West Concord School? Our first three grades, I think, were in the West Concord School.
So would you say the school and the church, you know, were very much
civic-focused? Right.
And near the post office, you went to dances.
Oh, yeah, they had dances upstairs at the, I think it was the Odd Fellows Hall at that time,
mm-hmm.
which is upstairs over...
the Association Hall?
Association Hall was over the post office.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Odd Fellows Hall across the street. Over the West Concord Shoe Store, and the fellow now has a bookstore there now,
mm-hmm.
next to the Elmwood Hotel.
And what did you do at Association Hall over the...
Association Hall at that time had a third floor where they had the early movies, where they had the player pianos, and they had all kinds of traveling medicine shows. They'd come in and put on a different play every night, featuring local people in the act.
There were no movie theaters in Concord, of course.
No movies in Concord ever. They did finally get a permit to build a movie theater in Concord Center behind the Middlesex Bank in the parking lot. But then they found out that they couldn't get first-run movies from Boston. Had to be 20 miles out of town. But they did used to have movies at 51 Walden Street, and where else did they have them? A couple of other places. They would show them. And they show them, of course, at Association Hall, too.
Were those current movies or older movies?
Older movies.
Okay. Otherwise, you had to go to Maynard.
Right. Maynard was the focal point of movie activity.
Mm-hmm. You have mentioned around the Damon Mill, and around the time before World War II, you were describing why it was called Goat Hill, right up in back of the Damon Mill.
Oh, Goat Hill. Oh, they had a slaughterhouse up running next to the railroad tracks in the Boston and Maine, and we always called it Goat Hill. I don't know why. And Kim McGuire, who was the mayor of Goat Hill, and of course at the present apartments up there. What are those apartments?
Hawthorne
Apartments. It was originally the I don't know what you'd call it, the poorest section of town, where before welfare, mm-hmm. people who were in need of aid lived in those places up there on Goat Hill.
So these were families, you know, that
right.
were tended
in
to be
need.
Poorer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you had mentioned Dan Hayes's Garnet Mill. This was located on
Commonwealth Avenue, next to E&S,
mm-hmm.
gas station, and it was a wool picking operation. It operated 24 hours a day. I don't know how many years Dan ran it. It was hard work. He couldn't get any of his boys to take it over for him when he got ready to get through with it.
And he also owned a lot of the old powder mill.
He and Glenn Swift bought up most of the old powder mill woods where the American Cyanamid Company made their gunpowder during World War I, and is now part of Nuclear Metals. And they bought that whole area of land after the war for taxes and that sort of thing. And of course it developed into highly industrial
mm-hmm.
area.
And Glenn Swit was a...
Glenn Swit owned the local West Concord Pharmacy in Commonwealth Avenue
mm-hmm.
for many years. And he and Dan Hayes were old Musketaquid Club friends for many years.
Now, you've been a member of the Rod and Gun Club. Can you describe the purpose of the organization?
Well, the Rod and Gun Club is located up on Strawberry Hill Road, where the people that belong fish and trap shoot and bows and arrows, archery.
Has it been around for a long time?
It's been around just better than 50 years, I guess.
Very pretty land there.
Oh, beautiful. 35 acres of.
And what is the difference between the Rod and Gun and the Musketaquid Club?
Well, the Musketaquid Club is fairly exclusive by comparison. They only have 100 members, and they're originally an offshoot of the Rod and Gun Club, where fellows who wanted to do more trap shooting get into that sort of thing, particularly the McCone family branched off from there and organized their own club, which is also very lovely area up there off
Old Mill Road.
Old Mill Road.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You served on the Concord Recreation Commission. You told me that.
Oh, and, yeah, along with.
Could you describe some of the issues that you faced?
Well, of course, at the time that I was on the Recreation Commission, Roger Fenn and Bernie Megan was in his heyday as a football coach and athletic director at Concord High, who later became the town's first recreation director, which indirectly involved our setup with the Walden Pond swimming lessons. So one of the main issues we ran into was that it was time to expand the bathhouse situation at the Walden Pond, put in another new bathhouse, and extend the swimming area, which also involved taking down some trees in the area. And that is of itself brought on the worldly battle with the Thoreau Society, who were up in arms over the situation. That's what we were best known for at that time, I think.
Was that during the 1950s?
In the 50s, right.
Softball in West Concord also interested you, and your house is located so close to the Rideout playground.
Right, yeah. We Rideout, of course, originally we had a lot of baseball until the baseball, semi-pro baseball and that sort of thing died out. Then softball took over and is still very active there. They're doing a lot of things with Rideout now, Little League and girls softball.
Was softball very big there on holidays, the weekends that you remember?
No, softball was strictly during the week. Baseball was...
Baseball, I mean.
Baseball,
okay.
Yeah. You have your Sunday ball games, holidays, 4th of July, Labor Day. It really...
It was the American pastime.
Yes,
really.
Right. We drew a lot of people there. It's very... about 20-odd years of baseball.
And you began... you managed the team?
I managed it for some years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you begin writing the newspaper column Junketing Around the Junction?
Good question. I think basically I was constantly interested in getting my sporting teams into the local papers. So then I had started to branch out a little and get off the sports bit into junking around the junction, odds and ends, and that sort of thing with the local papers, primarily with the Concord Journal, although I had been with the Colonial and Enterprise and Free Press, whatever papers were available.
There you were.
For free fill-ins.
One popular column had nicknames of local people, and I guess there was a froggy and a chick and Dutchie and a snowball and a cheeky. Let's start explaining some of the, who was Froggy?
Froggy Sigmund, that was Lawrence. I think it was due to his voice, probably. He's now up in Vermont somewhere. And then there's Chick Mayo, well-known, late Chick Mayo, well-known former postman and milkman and Touchy Damon, Henry Damon, one of the Damon boys. I think that probably has something to do with his haircut more than anything.
And Snowball?
Snowball is Hilding Johnson, the late captain of the Concord Fire Department. Well known by his name, Snowball, the dancing bear. and Chee-Chee Tombino, that's with the late Richard Tombino, of course, in business. He and his brother John ran Tombino Brothers.
What kind of business was that?
Plumbing and heating, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does Trucks Caldwell?
Trucks Caldwell, that's Bruce, our next door neighbor. And speaks well of Bruce. Bruce Caldwell is a local for heavy equipment operator.
I see. Well, you're still keeping up with the column, which is good. Dot, your work as a teacher at the Harvey Wheeler and Thoreau School also offered a very intimate look at the West Concord community. Your teaching career spanned
20 years in Concord, and then I taught 7 or 8 years in Tewksbury. Then when mm-hmm. I married Barry, after we had our children, then I taught in Concord.
So,
wonderful.
You taught from 1963?
Yeah, mm-hmm. to 83.
You really got to know the children and the families, and would you say when you started that most of the teachers lived locally?
Yes, I think they did. They were on this, not all from Concord, but surrounding towns, and that was seemed to be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have branched out into other towns.
What would you say are some of the programs or changes within the school that you recall?
Well, I remember MECO started. It had started in high school and before it did in the elementary, and that was a good start here. And we started with the first grade with 4 or 5, and then that's how it started in the elementary school. And then when they went to second, and that way it built up. And libraries, we didn't have libraries in school, and I thought that was very important. That was wonderful to have libraries in the school. It still is a good thing, too.
Well, that's very novel, you know, a very important, you
yes.
know, aspect. But you almost thought that it had always been around, and
no, it hadn't been. It was scary news.
Would you say the 1970s were the time when there
right.
was a lot of
major
innovation?
Yes, yes.
Was that true of learning centers?
I think that's when that started too, learning centers and also reading labs. And so they had the two of those, and they were, that was great to have in the school. And then teacher aides too. We'd have aides in our classroom. If we had a large number in our enrollment in our class, and it would warrant to have an aide.
Mm-hmm. You seem like the teacher that was very accepting of, or even excited about changes. Was the METCO program well received?
I thought so. Mm-hmm. I felt, and with my teacher friends, or you know, in the schools, I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great, wonderful. And the first class I had, is a graduating class this year at the high school.
Really?
I have to be there.
Of course.
I want to go. just to be there, to see some of them.
Which grade did you teach?
First and second, and then just a few years, second and third, then
mm-hmm.
went back to second and first. I went first, second, two, three, second, first.
I see.
Great.
You're very, is there any other aspect?
Well, I liked having people come to the classroom. Bob Carter, again, would come in on Citizenship Day and talk to the, and it would just be to my class. I would invite other classes, too. And then Fire Prevention Week, I always contacted the fire department, and the firemen would come and outside and have a program outside. And I like to have people come in. I remember during the, when was it, the bicentennial, I had Roddy Loyne and Jim Powers came in and talked to how they were setting up the town for the different programs where they were going to be. And I thought that was in our hands. I liked all that.
So people gave their real personalized stories.
Right. And I always did always had these sheets that I would write the story of the person that came in. I always did a lot of that anyway. I always had those things.
There was a strong bond between school and community.
Yes, and I thought it should be that way. And it was good. And I'd take my class out I'd go birding. Before school started, I did a group of that, and that was fun to do. I'm jumping on another one.
Yeah. you have really embodied the heart of a community, which is the volunteer. And you have been a member of organizations that have really contributed quite a bit. Do you want to describe that?
Well, when I taught school, I didn't belong to any extra. I always belonged like to the museum and different, the Audubon and things like that. And then when I retired, I took a course down at Emerson Hospital with things to do, like join three different things. So I joined the West Concord Women's Club. I joined the Meldane and the Concord Auxiliary at the hospital. And there have been things to do. I've enjoyed them all.
The West Concord Women's Group particularly seems to be so much a part of the West Concord community.
Yes.
And you received an award this year.
That was one of the highlights of my life, and it was for the year, but it could be forever, you know. It really was really,
it was the volunteer of the year,
right, given by the chamber, and received a lot of nice comments and cards.
Well, you're very deserving of
no.
that. Every you know, we're doing this and taping in May, and in a couple of weeks be Memorial Day, and you've started a tradition here at your house after the parade.
Right. We have a coffee here, and it's grown from just a few neighbors, and we have 50, 60. Last year they said they had to be about 70. And people bring, you know, whatever, coffee or cakes or whatever, and it just works out great. A lot of fun right out in the yard and come.
Right in the backyard?
Right,
out, here.
Right mm-hmm. on the side, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then some have to go to Concord for another parade. But it's, we do it for the veterans and the people in Orange and the men. And it's nice. The other night, a couple people mentioned it. Muscatic, are you having your coffee this year to be out? Come on over. It's fun.
How many years have you been doing this? Just
we
about.
We have to figure that out. 15, right? With 15. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, great. Do it forever. Everybody helps. We get the chairs and the tables with the rod and gun and set up. And Mark, our son Mark and Mary Beth serve. And we just, Barry has the best time of all. A lot of fun.
Well, thank you.